Thank you, my brother. And before we open the scripture and we look upon the scripture, I want just to make some propaganda for you. And first, we are glad and delighted that six people have stepped and have been baptized. And we're going to start a church membership class so that all the material is prepared. And I prepare about 15 so that you are welcome to come and understand why there is a church. I read some of the questions. What is a church? What are the purpose of the church? What are the benefits of being a member of the church? What are the requirements of membership? What are the responsibilities of membership? All of these that we want to study in the class with the Holy Spanish room over there and do some work on the board, and there will be a question and answer class where you can question and so on, and it's good. Now, in the evening also, we continue on. If you don't have the material on Revelation, let me know. I can send an email to you or fax the material to you. And it's on the my computer, so it's easy to send to anybody. I have not put it on the internet because I have not registered my name yet. Otherwise, I could steal it and sell it and so on. And that happened to me three times, that my books were given as a gift. And they found in Venezuela and they found in Ecuador. They were selling my books for $10. And I want 20, not 10. All right. And here's the material for Revelation. And the people here are getting, and you can get it. The people in Brooklyn and all over the country are getting the material via internet. So we save the shipping and save all the printing and so on. So the church is a motion and is active and is moving. And I love the classes where you can ask a question. And I have been teaching Revelation with such an enthusiasm that the last two classes, I don't know, allow room for questions, but I have so much material. But I will allow tonight that you can question the passage in view. If you turn your Bible to Joshua, that's where we start. Actually, turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10, page 1247, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me tell you that because of the stress in which we live in America by the media that tells you in the newspapers how bad we are and so on, I tell you, I want to teach three sermons on personal living, as Christians, of course, as Christians, personal living. And today, I think I selected these because it's the most important in our personal life and is making wise choices or wise decisions. As Christians, making wise choices or wise decisions. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, that the Old Testament provides valuable lessons for the Christian life. And now I'm going to go very low in my teaching. Don't think one of my great Walter Cronkite, when trained me on radio, he said, you teach like you are teaching kindergarten. Speak in television like you're doing kindergarten, and everybody will understand you. So I'm going to do kindergarten lesson. The Bible has two major divisions. One is the old covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the new one that God made with Jesus. See? The Bible is a coherent book. And so look at what the New Testament says about the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So everything that happened in the Old Covenant, everything that happened between God and Israel, God and Isaac, God and Jacob, and if you come to Wednesday night, we are reading the scripture, and now you have learned last Wednesday that we read all the sons of Jacob and their development and so on, and so we are getting really illustrated in how Judaism brought up, and we learned that the Arabs and the Jew are just one. They are the same. It's just amazing. And so God said all the things that happened to them, or everything that happened in the history of Israel till Christ, happened for a reason, so that you and I can get smart and see what happened when we disobey God or when we obey God. All right? Now, one such lesson is the importance of making wise choices in our lives. And I give you some examples before I go right there into Joshua. Lot, L-O-T, the nephew of Abraham. Lot made a choice as to where to live. He said, well, I'm going to live. You know, sometimes say, well, I'm going to move. Where should I move? That's a good question. Lot made a choice as where to live. And as a result of a wrong choice, he experienced war, kidnapping, and loss of all his possessions. Go with me to the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 14, please. I want you to see it with your own eyes, in Genesis chapter 14. And look with me, verses 11 and 12. And they took, Genesis 14, 11, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his good, and departed. An enemy came in, and the city was so prosperous. The location was so good. Everything looks like we're going to make it here. We're going to be millionaires. And out of the blue came the enemy and wiped them off. And Uncle Abraham had to get, remember, 100 men of value. And he went out and got Lot back and recovered every penny. Plus, they took more things back to them. So, you see, you make a wrong decision where to live, and things happen. All right? David, and I because my time in radio is until 12, I cannot go through all the scriptures that I mentioned to you. I wish I had 2 hours so that when we started in my first church, I preached two hours and a quarter. And when I go to Spanish countries, I preach for 4 hours because they want the whole story. They don't want to halfway. But I'm in radio and I'm limited. Now, David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. You know that. He was in his rooftop, and here is this girl going to take a bath. Of course, it's nude, going to take a bath on the river. He looked on it, and the Bible says he was good-looking. And at that time, remember we read last Wednesday when we read, that David said, I want that woman. And the soldiers came in, took her in, and he committed adultery with her, even though he was informed that she was the wife of one of his officers who was in the front line. Some of his sergeants were very respectful. He said, King, this lady is the wife of an officer who is fighting for you. He, you know, when passion come into the heart, even block you. You are not the same. You are not the same. And blocked you. And when you take the wrong stuff into your mind, you lose control of yourself. And he lose control of himself. Then he got her off. Well, God forgave him. But let me list the things that happened to him. The death of his infant son. And 2 Samuel 12 said that that baby that was born in adultery there died. God in mercy gave another baby. And you know the story. The baby was Solomon. A daughter was molested and violated by his half-brother. The only daughter he had. A son was killed by a brother. A son rebelled against him and built, like you hear in Honduras, they took over the president. They built an army and they took over. And he was moved out of power. All because he took a wrong choice. He committed adultery. Joshua, look at in Joshua 24, please. Let's go back with me to Joshua 24. He finished 40 years as a president of Israel. and a new committee comes, judges come into places. And people are becoming liberal. The country is becoming a country that deny the law. The country is becoming a country who said, we have power, we have made it, we did this, we did the other. The book of Joshua in chapter 24 said that God empowered Joshua and gave Israel every land he promised. And now the Israelites are in control and they say, we did it, we do what we want to with our life and we progress. And so General Joshua, President Joshua stands in verse 15 and he make a choice. And the choice that he made is not to protect the country or the city, it's to protect his family. Look at that, verse 15. And it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. By the way, the word Lord is the word Jehovah, the God of Israel, okay? That's the word. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, husband is speaking, for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. With Lot and David and Joshua illustrating the need for making wise choices, I'm going to bring a picture of choices to you and how to solve them. Some choices will greatly affect your life. I choose very young in life, at 25, to come to America. And that changed my life altogether. We need to have suggestions so that we can really stop when we're going to make a choice and really see how to make it. And then what to do when we have made the wrong choice, you know? What to do? You are driving, and then you see a sign on the highway, and you say, boy, I took it the wrong way. That happened to me a long time ago when I was in seminary. I was driving the secretary of Pastor Archer Weniger, the dean of the seminary, and we're going to have dinner with the pastor. It was just right in the top of the hills of Auckland, but just they finished Highway 680. Just they finished, and I took it in the wrong way. But my wife and the pastor's wife were, and the pastor's secretary were talking, and I don't want them to know that I made a wrong turn, so I keep on driving. And nobody said anything. They were talking in the back. Then suddenly, I see a sign, chung, I made the turn. And everything was quiet. When I get the highway again, it's, oh, finally you realize you make it wrong. that was bad. So what to do when we make a wrong choice? Okay, let's work together. Choices which greatly affect your life. I want to give you a series of them. Number one, you have to choose Jesus. Will you follow Jesus or not? I don't talking about religion. Jesus. Will you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Or will you reject the call of Jesus? Look with me in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 29. Jesus is talking to all of us. He's talking to the people there, to the Jewish people, as we saw this morning in Sunday school. And he's talking to all of us. And look at what he says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is one decision that will affect your life more than any other decision in your entire life. It will determine your place in eternity. It's not going to determine a place here. They would, but the best is going to determine your place in eternity. It will have a bearing on every decision you make after that. I left football, soccer, because it was not proper for a Christian to get busy and work, like they call it when you play and you're a professional, and work on Sunday. And the church pray badly. And I never hear it, you're 18, until I went to a prayer meeting and the ladies start praying, "Lord, how terrible," they said. "How awful," you know, it's me, they're praying about me. And I look in the Bible and God wants to keep his day holy. And I said to myself, that is true. So it will determine only your place in eternity. It will have bearing on any of the other decision that you make. As a disciple, you will become concerned with doing his will. All right? And for example, what do you do? Now look, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 11, concerning your social status. In Matthew chapter 19, and let's look in verse 11. There are some people who are single, and that's all right. That's what your gift is. Matthew chapter 19, please. And look with me in verse 11. Matthew 19 and verse 11. "But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they whom it is given." And then look at verse 12. "For there are some eunuchs, single people, which are suborned from their mother's womb. And there are some single people which were made single of men." In other words, when you were captured in the army of Iraq, they will take the male organ out, and so the man becomes a single person. All right? "And they are single people which have made themselves single for the kingdom of heaven." That's one, you know, one, Paul. He said, "I will not get married because I'm so busy. I'm traveling to Europe. I can do this." And so when you have convictions, we'll deal with your social status. And we'll do it that way. And God will determine your social status. He said, "Well, Pastor, I cannot do that. I need a woman. I need a man. I need to be married." That's true. Look at with me in 2 Corinthians then. In chapter 6, we'll determine how to. I'm talking to Christians, of course. And 2 Corinthians, please, go with me to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, please. And look with me in these verse 14 to the end, and you will see how this affects the life of people. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion then had light with darkness, and what concord, what agreement have Christ with Satan, or what part have he that believe with an infidel, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and there shall be my people. Wherefore, come out of from there." Don't mix your life with unbelievers. Don't mix your life with anything that will destroy the union with God. And if you're a single person, you need to marry, and you want to be married. The fact that you're a Christian, the fact that you have chose the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart is telling you that the only person you can date and be married is a Christian. That's what the Lord God said. So my friend, choices will affect your life very greatly. Choosing Jesus will affect every direction you go. Now, choosing a career. You say, well, now I'm 14, in my country at 12. You have to make a decision, what are you going to do with your life? Even from a worldly viewpoint, your choice is very important. The job market is always changing, by the way. The wrong choice could lead to financial effects on you, and will be financial effects on you personally, and also in your marriage and in your service to God. So make the choice to honor God first, and then you will be blessed. How do I choose a career? People say, well, what pays more? Maybe if I become a doctor, I get more money. That would be the wrong doctor, don't we? Maybe if I become an engineer, I will get more money. How do I know what I want to do with my life? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Here the Bible tells you what to do, how to choose a career. Matthew 6. And look with me, verse 33. A very well-known verse. Matthew 6, 33. Jesus is saying, here is the standard for your life as you make decisions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his justification, and all the things shall be added unto you. In other words, all the goodies of the world, all the fantasies of this world will be added unto you for trouble. I tell you, more things you have, more concern you have. But there is one thing you need to do with your life, and the thing you need to do is to say, I'm going to choose this direction in my life. I'm going to be a professional, or I'm going to be a garbage collector, or I'm going to be a truck driver for the glory of God. And you will have peace of mind all the way through. I don't know how much money you can get in America. A truck driver makes good money. A garbage collector makes $66 an hour. You know, so that's incidental. The thing is, whatever I choose that leads me to glorify God is going to be good, because God is going to empower. Doesn't matter what the situation is. And so, let me tell you this. If you make money your primary factor in your decision, destruction will follow you. If you make young people, in order to choose your career and your future and your profession, whatever you choose, if you make money the primary factor, you are making a choice for destruction. How do I know? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, page 1295. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let me read for you verses 6 to 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You got it? If you said, I'm going to choose these because money is on it, you're going to kill yourself. But whatever you choose, you have to be peaceful about it, that with that profession, with that work you do, you glorify the Lord. There is no end. There is no end. All right? Some important decision. I want to choose a mate. I want to get married. I want to choose a mate. This choice will determine to a great extent the degree of your happiness. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, page 728. Proverbs chapter 12. In verse 4. For men, listen carefully to this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Do you got it? But she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness in his bone. I talk to a lot of men. 80%, they tell me, how sorrow they are they marry the wife they have. Christians and non-Christians. And I think if you marry the wrong person, it's going to be tough. And so making a good choice, see, it will have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional well-being. Really. You may think you can simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad companion or a bad choice. But once you have children, there is no way to reverse the choice you made as to who is the mother or the father of those children. And as I talk to children of parents who have been divorced, always, without failure, in 38 years, they tell me, this is my mother and this is my father. Doesn't matter they divorce. This is my father and this is my mother. And there is no replacement. Because God has put in their heart that statement. So when you choose a mate, I know you men, look how pretty she looks. Well, the Bible tells us, remember Rebecca, when we read here on Wednesday, that crazy guy, Jacob, went into Laban's home. Remember what we read? He looked at the two sisters, and one was good to look because she has a good form, said the Bible. and he chose her. But I tell you something. When you choose a companion, whether a man or a woman, be sure it's going to be the crown of your life. Now choose a friend. Is that important? Well, look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. And look with me in verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, page 1253, verse 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. You choose the wrong friend, you end in the wrong place. And so, when you make choices, when you make a choice, you're a Christian, now you need to have the wisdom of God to do it. So may I give you some suggestions on how to make choice? The first suggestion is, before you make the choice, is ask God for wisdom. Go with me to the book of James, way in the back in your Bible, is the book of James, page 1315, if you're using the Bible in the pew. Book of James, chapter 1. And look at what the Bible said in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a man, when a person don't know what to do, is unstable in all his way and is dangerous. And so ask God for wisdom. God, I have this business. I have this job opportunity. I have my wife. I have my husband. I have my children. Give me wisdom and how to talk, how to deal with them, how to work with them. Now also, it's proper in the Bible to ask others for advice. Look in Proverbs 11 and verse 14. In the book of Proverbs 11 and verse 14, the Bible tells us that it's good to ask for advice before. In Proverbs 11, here in verse 14, page 727, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So ask godly people for counsel. What about this? And listen if they guide you through the scripture in that counsel. Ask the other person and ask the same question. And seek that those people will show in the scripture how to counsel you. And so, my friend, do you want the best counsel? Do you want the best answer to your question? Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1-98. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's well known, these, so you know it very well. Verse 16 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible said. All the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all things. So in other words, God has provided a book called the Bible, and in the Bible you find the answer to your questions. Ask a wise person to say, I got this problem, what the Bible say about it? And let that person show you in the Bible what the Bible says. And that will be the greatest and absolute answer from God. So suggestion to make choices. First, you ask in prayer to God for wisdom. You take your time. Secondly, you ask advice to those godly people who said, can you tell me what the Bible said about this? I can't find nothing, or I found something. Is anything else I need to know? And then you have a complete thing. Now, what if I do a wrong choice? I'm a Christian. I have made a wrong choice. That means are gone forever? No, sir. Look at Proverbs 24. You have made a wrong choice. Proverbs 24. And look with me on verse 16, page 739. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For the just man, that means a man who is justified before God, falleth seven times and raiseth up again, but the wicked shall fall in mischief. In other words, the unbeliever have no choice. It's falling, 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 falling down the hill. But for the believer, once you acknowledge you have fallen, once you acknowledge you're in the wrong direction, then God will raise you up. You see what God is saying? Remember 1 Corinthians 10:11? The Bible said you have to learn from other people's mistakes. Remember what I said? Lot took a wrong choice and ended up kidnapping himself and lost everything. David let his emotions guide his life rather than his true love and the passion of his soul for sex and ruin the nation of Israel that he was the king. Boy, making decision is important in our life. So go back to where we began in Joshua 24 and in verse 15. The nation has prospered. The families are together. Israel now dominates Lebanon, Syria, and Beersheba. We learned last Wednesday as we read the scripture, Beersheba means seven wells. Remember, Beth from Sabbath, it means seven. Seven wells. This was a well number seven that Isaac planted. All right, of work on it. And so here you have Joshua 24, verse 15. The nation has prospered from a tiny little nation, now Lebanon, Syria, all the way to the peninsula down to Beersheba. And there the nation felt that they have accomplished this. They have done this. And that no longer they need God. Oh, they have the synagogue and they have the temple and they have the ceremonial worship of God. And everybody was there doing what the Jewish religious require, but nobody believed because of what they were doing. We learned it today in Sunday school. Whatever you said is what is in your heart. Is that right? Very dangerous. You check your words and that's your heart. And so here Joshua is confronted and they tell Joshua, Joshua, this is what happened. Joshua, this is the problem. Joshua, what it is? And he has his long family. He's 120 years old and he has his family with him. And so he made this statement in that verse 15. And if seems evil to you to serve the Lord, he said, to serve Jehovah, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that means all the way from Egypt, that they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But for me, at my house, I will serve the Lord. I think that's the choice. That's the choice. For me, at my house, we will serve the Lord. You can have any profession you want to. You can live in any house or any trailer, any place you want to. You can buy a house or you can rent a house. That doesn't affect your life. What affects your life is the choice of your God. That's what affects your life. I offer to you Jesus, who was so good to me. I got the money that nobody got in their hand. Just playing soccer. And because I was just a believer. And I have a strong Italian grandmother. Who guided me. Who enforced God on me. I'm here today. Don't take your life easy. Take God seriously. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are teaching us that the greatest choice of our life is which God we will serve. Will be the God of money? Will be the work of the God of working? Will be the God of my children, my wife, my husband? Which God do we choose? Oh, God, teach us to worship you in a spirit and in truth. And then you will guide us. As you did to Joshua and to Moses and to David. Thank you for your counsel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your gates unseen. Oh. what changed the streets no longer ray. Hush was the glare, Hosanna, the little children said. The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill. At the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. Jerusalem,
as for those who are in the internet and radio, you hear the Korean version of our church, all right? Piano and music. Wow, what a blessedness. What a blessedness is to have all of you from different races and from different nations, all in one mind, glorifying the Lord Jesus. It is something special. Let us stand for the benediction.
Father, we heard your word reminding us how serious is our commitment to you. Our lives should reflect our belief. If we say we are Christians, we have to walk like Christians, talk like Christians, love like Christians. I remind them in the scripture that the Bible said that if we are husbands, you should love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Gave the entire life to her. That will show us the wise choice of being a Christian. Why you should love your husband and respect him as your authority in your life, said the scripture. Father, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. It's such full of instructions so that we show the world that we believe. So, Father, cause us to give an example to people of the choice we have made. God, the God of Israel, Jehovah, is our God, and that Jesus is our high priest. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.